Good morning, Arizona homeowners. Why don't you walk with me around back here? You're tuned in to Rosie on the House, your Saturday morning tradition for 29 years. And we're going to see who we have outside this morning for Outdoor Living Hour. And by golly, we have the full crew. As listeners know, we rotate a different specialist each Saturday of the month. September is one of those special Saturdays where we get a fifth Saturday, and I thought, well, why don't we bring them all in together? Let's start off with Miss Julie Murphy of the Farm Bureau. What are we going to be talking about in the farm today?
Hey, Romy, all sorts of fun stuff, including prepping for our fall and winter gardens and remembering all of the neat things that our farmers and ranchers are doing in the fall. It's harvest time.
It's harvest time, and we have pumpkin festivals coming up
pumpkin
as well.
Pumpkin festivals. We have our cotton farmers that are gearing up for their cotton harvest, all sorts of fun stuff.
Eisenhower, what are we going to do in the trees today?
Glad to be here with the panel and talking trees today.
And Mr. Greg Peterson, our urban farmer.
Hey.
How was your Great American Seed Up?
Oh, my gosh. The Great American Seed Up rocked. And, it was just amazing.
You had said you hoped to not take any seeds with you. Did you accomplish your goal?
Pretty much.
How many does that account for?
Oh, there was probably 1,500 pounds. 70 different varieties, all the way from corn to zucchini to
and with your
kale.
Germination rate, all those make it into the ground. You kind of made a dent on your sustainable Arizona goal here.
Yeah, I did.
Wonderful.
We did.
We'll get more details about that. And Mr. Jay Harper, now of the Farm's Choice, welcome to the program. Y'all are an organic fertilizer supplier,
that's right.
Propagator, so, and supplier.
Yeah. We from the you know what to the end. We make it, and well, we don't really make it. We process it, it's time. Julie mentioned harvest time, but it's also planting time. Our farmers in Yuma are planting all the leafy green stuff, and they're just ripping and tearing down there, getting all of that winter produce ready for folks for all over the nation. Has grown a huge chunk of it has grown right there and. Our own backyard in Yuma, but as people have been driving around town, they've been seeing a lot of this scalping activity, lawns being mowed short, especially the golf courses and the resorts and the commercial property. So it's about that time to start thinking about a winter lawn.
You know, we had to have a little elevation education with the family last weekend after the broadcast. We went to Chino Valley, and they have, you know, the ryegrass we're getting ready to plant for winter is their summer lawn. And the kids are like, you said we couldn't have this for summer. How come the Scots have it? And they explain the elevation and temperature difference.
Ryegrass is most of the country's summer lawn. We're one of the very few places that it's a winter lawn. You know, Palm Springs, Phoenix, maybe South Texas, you know, those. Everywhere else, ryegrass is what they have as their permanent summer lawn.
And it's a beautiful lawn. They like this more than – they love to swim in the summer, but, man, they – that green rye lawn is the highlight of the outdoors.
I'm often conflicted with folks that are struggling with their summer lawn, and I'm saying, well, how often are you out in the 110 degrees enjoying that summer lawn anyway? The winter lawn is, if you're going to have a lawn, and that's really the one you're going to enjoy the most. So,
and it takes,
it would take some
takes
real paradigm swap to get us to think that way, but if we were going to let a lawn go, I'd be for letting the Bermuda. It takes more water. Mm-hmm. It's harder to keep it looking good. It's a whole lot more work to mow it and sweating and all of that in the heat.
Harder to get rid of when you're finally done with it.
Well, that too. Yeah.
So going into our rye scalping, what's the point of that?
Well, what we want to do, back in the day, we used to tell people to get it down right to the dirt. I mean, get rid of everything. That's kind of changed. We do not want you to take the lawn down too short and stress it out too much. We just want to take enough of the growth and the leaf material off so that the seed can find its way down, because that seed needs to make contact with the soil. We don't want it rooting up in the blades or the thatch of the lawn. So we want to remove enough material that we can get the seed down to the lawn. So that's the first thing we do, is we go in and remove some leaf material. We still call it scalping, but we don't want it down to the dirt like we used to in one time. We also used to tell people and have people that would dethatch or verticut or power rake at the same time. That's definitely a no-no as well. Just a mowing enough to get rid of the material so that seed, when it's broadcast, can find its way and make contact with the soil. Then we do suggest that folks use a starter type fertilizer. Farm's Choice has a great organic product for that. There are other products out there that will help that seed once it starts to germinate to have some nutrients there for that seed to take off, but also to help that Bermuda grass go to sleep, to store up some carbohydrates so that it can come back next spring healthy and strong. So a little bit of start, and then if you have any bare spots, which unfortunately most people might have a bare spot or two in their lawn, you probably want to top that or cover those with some type of composted material, a seed topper, something to keep the moisture around that seed so it doesn't dry out. The biggest reason for failure in winter lawns is lack of moisture, is not watering properly. It has to stay pretty constantly moist for that 10 days or 2 weeks that it's going to take for it to germinate.
And a quick side note, we have a text question here for you. Someone wants to know, is rye the only thing in the desert floor, you know, below that 2,000-foot elevation that we can plant in the winter?
That's a good question. So we use what are called perennial rye grasses because they're a finer-bladed, more of a turf-quality, turf-mowable lawn-type, a golf course-quality lawn. Annual ryegrass is more of a pasture-type grass. It gets big, thick-bladed, very wet, hard to mow, gooey, sticky. Not the best choice, but it's an option, especially if you have a huge lawn or a pasture-type situation. There are some, there's a grass called Poa trivialis, which is a really fine-bladed in the bluegrass family. That's very expensive. It's a little harder to find. It's wonderful. Really, if you like to mow it like a golf course green real tight, that's a good choice for you. And fescues we have, which are a good cool season grass. Again, they're a little coarse, you know, not the best quality for a small backyard lawn if you really just have a small lawn and you're going to be rolling around on it with the kids. But it is an alternative. So there are some options, yes.
And I guess I should mention that text number is 411-923. And maybe the best way today with the host of guests we have, I don't know how much time we're going to have to take calls, but you're welcome to call in and see if we can get your question on the air. 1-888-767-4348. And insect plant identification, you can snap a picture and email it to info@rosieonthehouse.com. But I'm going to guess for this format, your text to get a question in the studio is probably best, 411-923. So we've got our scalping done. There are other options than rye, but it's still the most predominant, so we'll focus on that. Because if you're starting the first time, if you've got a neighbor that's done it, the chances are that they're going to know it.
It's the best option. If you want a nice winter lawn, it's still really your best option.
So
Greg, Mr. Peterson,
hey,
urban
thanks.
Farmer, jump in here.
Perennial rye. So that leads me to believe
confusing.
That it comes back year after year.
Yeah, well, remember our first part of the conversation where ryegrass is most people's permanent lawn?
Yes.
Not ours? So in those places, it is perennial. It freezes, the snow falls on it, mm-hmm. it goes to bed for the winter, and it comes back in the spring. It won't generally make it through the summer here.
The heat kills it. Got
it. The heat generally kills it. Although in some lawns that are very shady, you will see it continue through or actually come back even after it's maybe gone away when it got real hot.
Mm-hmm.
Reason we plant perennial though is because of its
quality, exactly.
Very fine bladed.
Well, that will be Greg's trivia question in his next podcast.
There you go. One of the things I notice at the urban farm is that I get ryegrass coming up. I don't plant it, but it comes up. It just shows up.
So some of those perennials will, especially in shady areas, come back. Mm-hmm. But by and large, not enough of it will ever come back to count on that being a great lawn.
And one of those precious irrigated properties.
Oh, yes.
That's a whole new ball game for a lot of growing.
Yeah.
So in the wintertime, when it's under snow, it survives. Could we mulch it and keep the mulch damp in the summer and get through, or... I mean,
it's just not worth it because the heat with that kind of organic cover, you would have all kinds of fungal problems and disease problems that would occur by trying to do that. So,
and I guess I would imagine in the summer thinking about it.
Of course, remember,
it might be a little pungent.
Most people are overseeding a summer lawn with this. So come summer, they have a Bermuda grass or some type of hybrid Bermuda that does come back, and that is their lawn then for the summer months.
Mm-hmm.
So Yeah, so there's no real, and really, you know, a good quality seed is going to run you maybe $2 a pound. A pound covers 100 square feet. So, you know, a 2,000 square foot lawn is going to take 20 pounds, $40 for seed once a year is just probably not worth all the effort to try and figure out a way to get it through.
And do you use a rotary mower or a reel mower and pick up the clippings on your rye?
Well, you can do either. I'm a big advocate of leaving clippings on the grass and not picking up clippings. And you can do that with either type of mower. Sometimes you have to vary the frequency at which you have to mow. The warmer it gets and the faster it grows, you might have to mow more often so you don't have these big windrows of grass laying there, or you have to go over it a couple of times. But I really encourage folks to leave their clippings. There's all kinds of nutrients in that. Your grass clippings are, you know, 90% water anyway. It used to be kind of a tale that folks would say that builds up thatch. Well, that's not how thatch is built up. Those clippings falling down into the ground are just like mulching around a garden or rose bush or a fruit tree. So if you can, you know, regardless of the type of mower, and you can buy a mulching mower as well.
Mr. Jay Harper of the Farm's Choice All Natural Products. You can find them at nurseries throughout the state.
Most garden centers all across the state carry them, you bet.
It doesn't get much more local or organic than the Farm's Choice.
Yeah, absolutely, both of those.
All right, it's Rosie on the House. You're tuned in every Saturday morning here in the Outdoor Living Hour, starting at 8 o'clock sharp. Coming back with Greg Peterson of the Urban Farm. If you'd like to jump on the line, it's 888-767-4348.